My name is Lance Gorrell. I'm running for District 4 State Representative. I'm a certified public accountant, and I want to be an effective representative for Eastern Washington.
So, Mr. Gorrell, you ran for Spokane Valley City Council last year, and now you're taking another stab at elected office, this time for the state legislature. Why?
Well, I met a lot of people, and I became aware of a lot of the issues in my community that I didn't know as much about. In running for city council, I tried to educate myself on what was going on, and I found that a lot of those issues turned out to not really be city council issues at all. They turn out to be issues that are decided more at the legislative level. And so I felt like I did fairly well in my run last year, as a person with no name recognition running against an incumbent. And so I decided that I would take another shot at public service. We deal at the local level with the problems of our neighbors who find themselves homeless. But a lot of the solutions to those problems are more at the legislative level. And one of the key components of that is that we need better mental health services and better mental health funding. Our neighbors don't need to end up homeless because we don't have enough mental health services. And the same goes true with changes that need to happen with law enforcement. If we have more mental health services available, our neighbors don't need to end up in the criminal justice system for lack of diversion programs. So better mental health services was a key issue to me, and continues to be. It's one place where I think the the legislature is the one responsible, and a good place, and it's the place to start for that. Another has to do with early learning and child care. I think that other representatives, other of our legislators, have given lip service to supporting early education, but I really believe that we need to view early education and child care as an essential infrastructure. I think that the pandemic has really shown that. And so I would like to see more happening on the state level to give real support for early education from birth through kindergarten, not just K through 12.
So how would you describe your political philosophy?
I'm a Democrat. I believe that my political views are driven by my values, that what makes America great are strong communities and strong families. I've been an advocate for workers, and I think that strong workers and strong families make strong communities. And strong communities make a place for businesses to thrive. I think the idea that the first step is to make strong businesses and that will trickle down to the community doesn't work. I guess maybe the other thing that goes along with that is I'm an advocate in effective, efficient government. And I think the ideas of having small government and starving government to be smaller is a misguided philosophy. We need government to work for us. If we're not happy with what the elected officials are doing, this is a democracy. We should elect better officials. But I do not advocate destroying government. I just advocate government by the people and for the people. Government that is strong enough and able to have a safety net and protect the most vulnerable among us.
So if you're elected as a legislator, you'd be stepping into a pretty difficult fiscal situation. How should the state eliminate its big budget deficit or its projected deficit in this coronavirus age?
I believe that we need to look to new revenue sources. I'm not going to try to paint a rosy picture that says we can come up with $4 to $5 billion worth of efficiencies and keep doing everything that we're doing. That's not practical. I believe it's time to ask high earners, people making over $5 million a year, to reinvest in the state of Washington and to start to be part of the tax base that helps us rebuild our state. I think $5 million is the number that I've seen from research that can generate amounts in that range. I don't believe that people making under $1 million I don't believe we should have a state sales tax. I think that we should focus this and target people who are high earners and ask them to reinvest in Washington, and that's where we should be looking as a new revenue source. Most of the people I talk to aren't making anywhere near $5 million a year. So the people I talk to, I don't think are, I think that the people who are making over $5 million, many of them realize that yes, the American ideal and American values are that people who can do more, contribute more to help the society. And I would say that the state needs to think about asking those at the highest levels of income to reinvest. And yes, I think that the time's come. We're in unprecedented times. And I think that everything should be on the table, and I think that people who want to just turn this into saying no new taxes, I think that we need to have more revenue.
How would you grade Governor Inslee on his response to COVID?
In general, I think he's done well. I think that I've had some disagreements about residential construction here in Eastern Washington. I think small crews that can distance, I think there could have been exceptions that could have kept construction going, considering that we're in such a housing crisis. I feel kind of the same about recreational fishing, and I honestly believe that the masks are long overdue. I think that we're fortunate that the governor has acted as strongly as he has, and nobody's perfect, but in general, I would give him high grades. I think that the pandemic hit so quickly that a lot of decisions were made along the lines of what was essential, and that led to some pretty subjective judgments. I think going forward that if we can make mask wearing a standard in public, and if people can get the notion of social distancing down, that I think we will continue to move forward from the pandemic. Doug, I love live music. The thing I miss most in the pandemic is that Spokane has one of the best blues music scenes in the country. And even if places start opening up, I don't want to get in close proximity with crowds. And so I think there are certain activities like that are just going to be off limits for quite a while, I think, until we have some effective therapeutics. for the virus. But masks, social distancing, if we can make that more normalized, I think we'll move forward in a good way.
So how has working from home been for you?
Well, I'm a work from home accountant to start with. And so, and I have clients from different parts of the country and the world. And I have a lot of people who are struggling, people whose businesses are just completely shut down. And so I see a lot of the effects that the economic slowdown caused by the virus has had on a number of people. I feel fortunate, you know, my and within my own family that, you know, I haven't been touched with, you know, my younger people are, my children and grandchildren are all still working, but I see a lot of that. But as an accountant, I've spent a lot of time over the last 2 months filing tax returns for people to help them get the economic stimulus payment. There are a lot of people who fell through the cracks, people who don't normally file tax returns. I mean, it wasn't until really late that the IRS figured out how to even have Social Security and SSI recipients. But there are other people who are just, you know, have homeless people. I've talked to two people this last week who've had, one had a stroke and one had a traumatic brain injury. And, you know, they just haven't been able to file a return. So I've probably helped a couple dozen people file returns, get their paperwork in so they can be eligible for economic stimulus payments. It's been the brightest part of this for me, is to be able to help those people out.
So has the PPP program, the other federal loan programs in general, have they been a good deal?
Yes, with a caveat, and that is that the first stimulus payments did a good job of getting money to people who I would say needed it the least, and a very poor job of getting money to people who really need it the most. I mean, there are stimulus payments to Native tribes that are still being held up because of squabbles within the federal government. No one in the state of Puerto Rico has received a stimulus payment yet. There needs to be a better way to make sure that the most vulnerable people are getting help too, because I think one thing that COVID has shown us is that we are united as a community. We are joined as a community, whether we see ourselves as united or not. I'm an advocate of universal health care, not just because it's the other person's right to have health care, but it's my right that everybody in my community has health care, because I can't be healthy if everybody's not healthy. I know I strayed there.
So let's switch to policing and calls for police reform. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I was outside the city hall last night. There was a candlelight vigil for DACA individuals, and we had on the radio the city council proceedings as we were outside there gathered. I firmly believe that law enforcement should be under community oversight. I think that the sheriff's office should not be responsible for policing themselves, nor should the police department. Civilian oversight is essential. And I think it's civilians that should be in charge of law enforcement. So the union shouldn't run it. We should have good police oversight by the community.
Is that an issue that should be on the legislature's agenda or something that should be best handled locally?
Well, you know, I've wrestled with this. I don't really know the specifics of how it would happen. I think that the state is in the position to mandate community oversight of law enforcement. Not that the state should be the one providing the oversight, but that within each community, the community should decide how that happens. And I think that could happen at the state level. I think that there are a lot of these harsh tactics using tear gas and rubber bullets on civilian peaceful demonstrators that could be outlawed at the state level. I think that there are there are things that could happen in reforms in training that could happen at the state level. This is one area where I would opt for local community control, but this for the state to mandate that communities are the ones that have the responsibility for deciding the oversight of law enforcement.
So here's an issue that hasn't been very high on the public radar screen in the last years, but it's been a subject of rather strong debate in the legislature. Washington's governor and attorney general want to repeal the state's death penalty. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely repeal. And this is a very personal issue to me. Daniel Lee, who is the first federal prisoner scheduled to be executed on July 13th in Terre Haute, Indiana, was convicted of murdering my wife's sister and family in Arkansas. You don't have to include this, but I mean, I'm telling you this. He and another person from Spokane, Chevy Kehoe, traveled to Arkansas and robbed and murdered Nancy and her family. Our family has fought for, this happened in 96. I think they were tried, and Chevy Kehoe, who was the ringleader, received life imprisonment. Daniel Lee, who was his, I'm going to just say sidekick, was just kind of had swastika tattoos on his neck. He was blind in one eye from a bar fight. Really bum-looking guy. And they gave him the death penalty. Well, our family has fought, you know, up until recently, you know, everything we've been able to do. My daughter, Monica Vallette, has been really the spokesperson for the family. So that's the long answer to your question, is that I'm proud that Washington State has abolished the death penalty. I think it's long overdue for that to be a national policy, too.
Another issue I've been asking everyone about is the $30 car tab initiative that Washington voters approved last year. Where do you stand on that?
I think the $30 car tab initiative was a backdoor way to say that we should have smaller government. And I think that the effect of the $30 car tab has been to throttle our local transportation projects. I think it's really up to the legislature to figure out if the people really want that $30 car tab, then we need to figure other ways to move things around and continue to finance our transportation needs. Part of the reason that I think that the $30 car tab is a regressive type of thing. I like the idea that people who are buying more expensive vehicles can afford to pay a little bit more for their tabs than somebody who's buying a cheap used car. So if the will of the people is $30 car tabs, then so be it. We just need to find other means of revenue to finance that. We shouldn't settle for smaller government, less services, and worse transportation maintenance because of it.
And another issue we've been asking everyone about, you're seeking to represent a district where current and past representatives have promoted a 51st state idea. How do you feel about that?
Maybe for Washington, D.C. or Puerto Rico, but not for Washington. There's a separatist movement within the state and within the region that thinks that Olympia and Western Washington's evil. It's made it so that our current 4th LD representatives have just become totally ineffective. They can't even gain traction within their own party for issues that matter to Eastern Washington. I believe that everybody deserves a place at the American table, whether you're fifth generation or a newly arrived American. Doesn't matter what you look like, what you believe, who you love. Everybody deserves the opportunity to work hard and make a better life for themselves. And I think that applies to everyone. I think that maybe that's the distinction between myself and people who advocate for a secessionist 51st state.
Mr. Gorell, those were my issues. Any other issues you feel passionate about that I haven't raised?
You know, I've spent my 25-year accounting career helping businesses and nonprofits manage their finances and work more efficiently. I think I'm the best candidate because I understand budgets, and I will work tirelessly to ensure that the state's responsible with our tax dollars. I really believe that I want to go to Washington to fight for the values that I believe make America great: strong communities and strong families. I chose Eastern Washington as my home after living all over the country because it truly is the best place to raise a family. And so I want the opportunity for public service and to be able to be a voice for the people at the table in Olympia as we make these hard choices and hard decisions about the budget.